from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Damn, Jeremy. Ryan Mountcastle, Jordan Westberg. What other position players? Those two right now?
Well, you got Mullins is dealing with something.
No, on the IL.
Oh, just strict. Well, is he going to head to the IL? We don't know that.
It's Kerstead with the concussion, right?
He had the concussion. You just want to talk about position
then
players.
The position players. Then let's go to the pitchers. For this year, John Means, Kyle Bradish, Grayson Rodriguez.
Freddie Prinze.
and Zach Eflin. Those seven players, Jeremy.
Freddie Prinze. I can't even look at you, man.
You know, I told him that.
Did you?
I said, has anybody ever told you you look like Freddie Prinze? No. I showed him the phone. He said, that's messed up.
Hey, trust me, when people told me I looked like Tim Allen and the Santa Claus, I just had to accept it because that's true.
he looked at the picture and looked at me and said, that's messed up. Oh, yeah, it looked like Freddie Prinze Jr. But anyway, all of those guys on the IL, that's a good team by itself. That's a great team on the IL. No wonder this team was rolling in June because all those guys were healthy. With the exception of John Means. Those guys were healthy.
Yeah, it's crazy, man, because like the injuries this year, I still think Atlanta's had it worse. But now when you start looking at it across the board, I don't know that anybody's had to deal with what they've dealt with in the American League.
Who's got it worse than us?
Nobody. and there's some truth to that because like you start looking at the effects that it's had everywhere. Now, the good news for the Orioles is that they could get a bunch of these guys back, but and even if you want to go back further, they lost Batista before the season, and it's like, come on, man. You know, like, that's
why I'm not counting him, because you knew coming into the season you didn't have him.
Yeah, but still, it sucks. It's still another guy. Like, if you had Batista, where would you be this year? Looking down at the Yankees saying, come on with it. You guys ain't catching us. That's what would have happened.
Yeah.
Look at their record in one-run games, and look how many games they've blown late in the game. And then how much better having that guy at the back end makes everyone else now when you put them in line for what they can do, especially in the postseason. So, yeah, I mean, there's been just way too many injuries across the board for the Orioles.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. If this team doesn't go deep in the playoffs, are you thinking what if?
Yeah, I think I would because... All right, so what are the goals this year? For me, and I know I'm different than most people because everybody wants it now, I like seeing teams take steps. Whether that step is getting to the World Series, getting to the ALCS, winning the World Series, whatever, what I don't want is to get bounced in that first round. Because then that hurts more than anything else, in my opinion. I know some people like to say, I'd rather get bounced in the first round than have the hope of getting... No. I like that along the way. It's all the talk. It's the BSing with friends, how excited you are, where are we watching the game. Everything encompasses it. Like, I tell people, you can enjoy a movie with a bad ending and still say it was a good movie or I had a good time watching it.
Or a series, like Sopranos, bad ending. Still love Sopranos, just bad ending.
Yeah, so hopefully people understand what I'm saying. And maybe not everybody has to feel the same way I do either.
Well, last year was an example, 101 wins, bad ending. But did you not enjoy yourself last year? Because I did.
I had fun,
I enjoyed the ride last year. I don't like the way it ended.
Yeah, I mean, when I go back and look at the ALCS loss to the Royals and where they got, you're going, oh, my God, I can't believe they did this with all the players they were missing. And, oh, by the way, they lost four games by, what, five runs?
Mm-hmm.
That sucked, man. That was tough. That was a tough pill to swallow. So now you get back and you saw what happened with the Rangers. They made the run to the World Series last year, win it all. Is there any harm in losing to the team that wins it all? I know that's not what people want to hear, but it's what happened. Everybody that faced them lost. So now you're in a position where you've had all these injuries. You're hopefully going to get some guys back. And it seems like they've been unbelievably mediocre since what? June? Somewhere in there? Mm-hmm. Mid-June?
No, I think it was around July.
Was it the beginning? Well, I'm just saying mid-late June. Maybe that's somebody posted, I think it was Jacob Calvin-Meyer, posted their record.
He don't know nothing.
I know, but he posted their somebody told him about it. He posted their record, and then he said what they've done each month since then.
I think it's 23 and 25 since June 20th.
But I think it even goes back further than that, where it's very mediocre.
Then it's like 20. It's like 27 and 26 or something like that. Okay. It's basically 500 since mid June.
Yes, and that's not where you want to be. But again, look at the rest of the league. Who has been outside of Houston? Who's been playing?
San Diego and LA.
But look at where San Diego was.
I got that, but they're only five games out of first place now in the same division that the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers are in. Mm-hmm. So
from June 15th to the end of June, they were 8-7. Just that 15 game mark, they were 8-7. Let's go to Dave in Salisbury, but not that one. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How you doing, man?
You're forgetting some more people. You got Mateo. You got Tyler Wells.
Tyler Wells, you're right. I forgot Mateo, but did Tyler Wells pitch this year? Because I'm just going on the guys that played this year and got hurt.
All right, well, you still got Webb and Cologne.
You're right. I forget about those.
And I'm sure the bad boy got hurt at some time, too, and we just didn't know about it.
Feels that way, doesn't it?
Hey, thanks a lot. You're right. Webb and Cologne. I forgot about those guys.
Hmm. Well, the good news is those are guys you can get back too. So they're expecting both those guys back. You're expecting, or at least I think Westberg is the one I'm worried about.
Yeah,
because of the timing of it. Because there may be a tough decision you make. Like
maybe I
is he ready, or do we put him on the first?
Maybe I.
Okay, I trust you in certain aspects.
I want to say something. This is kind of like in defense, a little bit defensive, Joe and us all together. See the last call that Dave did. What's up, Dave? Bam! Dave said what he had to say. And some of you all get upset because we don't let you roll forever on your calls. If you didn't spend most of your time, you know, at the beginning of it with your hooks and then spending another 20 seconds trying to tell me not to hang up on you before you're done, you kill a minute and a half before you even get to what you got to say. So when we're at the top of the hour, we got to take a break. Guess what we got to do? We got to take that break. We have to. We can't let you stretch because you didn't say what you had to say. Your time, the talk begins when we say hello. All that other time that you use, I'm sorry. This is not making a phone call to your buddy. Man, what's going on? Not much. What's going on? No, it's not. It's a talk show. Well, what Dave just did a minute ago, Dave came in. Hey, what's up, Dave? You forgot about it. Just went right to it.
let me peel back the curtain a little bit more, because if you're driving the show, you have to pay attention to what we call the clock. You got to know when you're getting out, because if one break ends up being or if you get into a break late, it's going to mean your next segment shorter or the one after that. Or eventually you got to play catch up and you have a really short segment where you can't officially get any rating for that segment.
Right.
So, like, there is that give and take of when you call in and when you've been taken. I can tell you this. Rob will tell Ed and I in our ear, you got to hurry up, got to go to break. And, like, you don't want to get your feelings hurt over someone telling you to shut up because we got to go to break. But it's a fact and something we have to deal with.
Got to go to break.
Yes. Are you telling me now?
Yeah.
Man, screw
pretty
you,
much.
He just told me to shut the hell up on the air in a nice way.
Daily Line at 9:30 with Jeremy Gall. You get to talk more then.
Thanks.
But on the other side, week one will have ESPN's number one and number two player going head-to-head. You probably figured out who it was. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Jeremy.
Yeah.
How much do you put in rankings?
Depends who's putting them out. So, I mean, look, there's a lot of things that there can be bias in rankings, opinions. There's not, like, if you want to talk about the rankings for the top 25 in college football, it's like, right, who's voting on it? You know,
yeah,
like, if I know ESPN put out their, you had different top 100 lists of players, and it's a matter, do you care more what the players think? Do you care more what the media thinks? You know, and
I think both for me.
I like seeing both.
I like both of them.
I love the fact that Tyreek Hill was number one on that list that we saw. I love it because it always goes to a quarterback, and everybody think it has to be a quarterback.
Yeah.
And I don't even like Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, well, that list sucked because it wasn't a quarterback. I like this list better. Top 10 players according to ESPN.com. Number 10, J.J. Watt from the Steelers. Last year he was 15.
T.J.,
I'm sorry. Last year he was 15. Number 9, you're gonna fall out of your seat for this one, Jeremy. Number 9, Christian McCaffrey. Mm. Last year, he was number 10.
You mean the offensive player of the year last year?
Number 8, Tariq Hill. Last year, he was 16. Number 7, Micah Parsons. Last year, he was 6th. Number 6, Ja'Marr Chase. Last year, he was number 5. Number 5, Josh Allen. Last year, he was number 7. Number 4, Myles Garrett. Last year, he was number 13. Number 3, Justin Jefferson. Last year, he was number 2. Number 2, Lamar Jackson. Last year, he was number 20. Largely because he come off the injury.
Mm-hmm.
And for the second consecutive year, the number 1 player is?
Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, look, I have no problem with Pat Mahomes is the best player in football. But year in and year out, he doesn't have to be. Like, somebody can have a better season. If you look at a season that a wide receiver or running back's having, it can be a better season than what Pat Mahomes is having, comparatively speaking. But that list there shows you what has always been said in the league. If you want to get paid, you either touch the ball or you touch the quarterback.
Who touched the ball? Yes, right.
Yeah, so, that's like, right. You have both of those things. And look at that list. Every one of those guys is either a pass rusher or someone that's catching the ball or throwing it or running it, in Christian McCaffrey's case, or doing all of it.
This is what ESPN.com has to say about Lamar. He said, Jackson has been the best dual threat quarterback in NFL history. First of all, let's stop there. Do you agree with that?
Yes. Okay. To me, it's not close.
All right. Leading the Ravens to an average of 28.3 points a game and 383.5 yards per game through 6 seasons. I did not know that.
Hmm.
So he averages almost 30 points and 400 yards a game. The offense does.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, I don't think a lot of people know that, but some people don't want to know it. That's the difference, Rob. Like, you can read those numbers and go, damn, that's really good. And somebody will go, well, what did he throw for? What's his completion percent? Like, you can move that goalpost wherever you want to drive your narrative. But Lamar Jackson's one of the best players in football, bar none. You know, we could sit here and talk about, does he have to get better at hitting guys in stride? Does he have to get better at the deep ball? Sure. Ain't nobody doing what he's doing when he's running the football. Nobody. Like, even Josh Allen on that list. And I know if you, I look further down that list, and the thing that I did like about this is you saw a lot of offensive linemen. I think there were 3 guards in the top 35. And you don't typically see that on lists because why? It's hard to grade out offensive linemen, comparatively speaking, to other players. And so I like that. Trent Williams should be at the top of that list. And I got news for you guys. I haven't even talked about this yet. The 49ers week one, if Trent Williams ain't playing, better fade their ass and take the Jets. You might want to jump on it now because he's holding out.
410-583-1057 is the number. Jeremy, everybody wants to comment on your world of stupid, like Kai in Reisterstown. What's up, Kai?
What's up, Kai?
What's up, fellas? When I was riding to work this morning, my son asked me, what's a Titanic tallywhacker? And I was like, I didn't know what to say to him. You're a fool, Jeremy. And by the way, hey Rob, the guy that called was on an encore yesterday, it's a small world, about the football player in Jackson State.
Yeah.
That's I don't know that guy, but that's my homegirl's son.
Oh, yeah?
Everything he said, his name, yeah, McCray, yeah, number 11, for Jackson State. So shout out to him. And that's Rose's son. That's my homegirl's son. And real quick on the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have a heavy base package offensively and defensively. Defensively, what I'm saying is We don't have a pass rush right now. So we have a bunch of defensive backs that I think we're going to keep more than what we normally keep. So we're going to be like had them defensive backs spread it all over that backfield, all over the field. I don't think our pass rush is going to be a major factor in us not getting to the quarterback, because they're going to scheme it up just like when they then that'll give Hamilton a chance to play up at the line more. And I think offensively, Henry going to be, I hate to say it, man, he's not going to get as many touches as people think. He's going to be like a decoy. I hate to say it, it's going to be like a decoy, man.
He's going to get about 250 this year, about 225 to 250 this year, I think so. But my question is this to you, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know the mom and not know the dad?
I ain't going down that path. Does that boy play? Yes, he plays. What do you mean, does he play? That's all I know.
Ed Towson, what's up, Ed?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Doing well.
I'm good. So a couple of years ago, I drove a daycare center van. I dropped kids off at school, picked up kids up at school. And the whole time, you know, in the morning, in the evening, I got y'all on, okay? So I had a mom come out one day, and she's like, hello? She was laughing. She's like, hello, Ed Towson. I was like, oh, you know about that, huh? She's like, well, here's what happened, Jeremy. This mm-hmm. is straight on you. The kids are they're all looking at the game and whatnot, parents, kids, everybody running around. So the kids run by the front of the television, and these were twins. And the dads are like, get out of the way, get out, move out the way. And the kid, and I wish I'd have had, I wanted to get the mom on back then, but she was ashamed to come. She was shocked.
Kai so might know her.
Yeah. He might not know the dad,
yeah,
but he might know the mom.
You so stupid. Anyway, she said, the kids stopped, and they were like, Dad, Jeremy says so-and-so is a concrete lock for tomorrow's game. So, and these kids are like five or six. So the dads like freeze. Everybody freezes in the thing. And then all of the dads end up dapping up the father. Like, yeah, boy, that's the way you bring him up. And the mom, this is the mom telling me this whole thing. She's like, you'd have thought the mom said, she's like, Ed, if he'd have graduated, the kids that would have graduated high school, it wouldn't have been as important as him knowing what concrete
was.
I meant to tell you that, Jeremy, years ago, man. And I just never got to it.
Right? Hey, Ed, thanks a lot, my man. Let's go to Catonsville and get Brandon. What's going on, Brandon?
Hey, Rob, it's Brian, actually.
Okay, I'm sorry, Brian.
Put Brandon on the phone, Brian.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm calling about that Lyft driver who called in earlier about your world is stupid.
Yeah.
I drive for Uber, and I got a tip for him. There's a volume button on the radio. When you hear that the world of stupid's coming up, generally, I turn the radio down because I know some people might get offended. You know, and it's just ridiculous. You keep up the good work, Jeremy.
I appreciate it, man. Like, I'm not going to change anything I've been doing. And again, this isn't like me throwing anything in anyone's face. I understand, like, you know, you got your kids in your car, what you want to listen to. I was a Howard Stern listener. I had to do the same thing. Whenever my kids were in the car, I couldn't listen to the show, or if he was interviewing somebody, maybe I could get through that. But like, I'm a big believer in talking about everything. The embarrassing stuff. How many embarrassing stories have I told about myself on the air? Enough, right?
No, not enough. We want to hear more.
Inappropriate stuff. But like, I just feel like there are a lot of people out there that can relate to certain things. And I understand, like, I found it funny talking about the Titanic tallywhackers.
We got a break.
It's something I've never seen, Rob.
We had a break.
A Titanic. Oh, sorry. We got a break to get to me. What's the next segment? The one about me.
Joe LaCroix, Encore 945, but on the other side is Jeremy Cohen, Daily Line.
I told you yesterday, if you were going to bet one game, bet this game. It was the best spot on the day, best spot on the board. Did it hit? Of course it did. I'll tell you about it when we come back right here on the Big Bad Morning.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
Morning show.
The Big Bad Daily Line. 105.7 The Fan.
Line to left and a base hit for Merrill. From third base comes Profar. Machado's behind him. The throw of the plate, man. He will be safe. 2 runs in for the Padres, who take a 4-1 lead. Jackson Merrill driving in a pair.
Well, that's what you want to see. And look, I loved it in the first. I was going to say first quarter. First inning, as Manny Machado went yabo and hit a 2-run shot. I had him on my home run list yesterday. That was courtesy of the MLB Network. And talked about it. Best weather situation of the day. Batters matching up with pitchers really well. We had the Padres, score 7. The Cardinals score 4. Total was 9 last night. And didn't feel like you had to sweat it as much. So a nice play. Overall, I went 2-2-1 in my top plays. I had a couple of WNBA plays in my top plays. And it just did not work out for me. And those were my 2 losses. I hit the baseball games. And maybe you got the good number on the White Sox. Maybe you didn't. When I gave it out in the morning, it was 8.5. By the time lunchtime ran around, it was up to 9. It finished at 9. So it was what we like to call in the industry a push. A push. You tied. You kissed your sister. In my situation, it's happened more times than, not. Yeah. I went 2-2-1 yesterday, 2-2-1 the day before.
I thought you meant kissing your real sister.
No, I've been mired in mediocrity this past week. So, you know, getting a couple right would be nice. You know, going into football season, I did call the Georgia Tech game. Baseball bullpens have been very, very disappointing to me in how they've played out. And this is a really interesting time of year because we're kind of turning that corner once we get into September. I know a lot of teams haven't been playing for certain things, but you're going to see younger guys put in the lineup. You're going to see managers do things that they typically wouldn't do, whether they're trying to stay in the race for the playoffs or whether they just don't care. You know, it's like, oh, let's see how this youngster reacts to this situation. It will happen from time to time. You just got to keep your eye on it and pay attention to what you're betting on. Let me throw you out the weather today because there are a lot of leans, and I'll try to tell you the best spots. Tigers under, lean to that. Cubs over, not touching it. It's the most heavily bet total on the slate, so I'm staying away from it. Phillies over, phenomenal play today. It's the best weather situation on the board, along with the Cardinals over again. Reds under, Yankees over, and this one's intriguing to me. Gerrit Cole, who, you know, can shut you down. I mean, he hasn't looked like the Gerrit Cole we saw win the Cy Young just yet. He's going up against a Nats team that steals a lot of bases. That is kind of a, you know, they're mainly a singles hitting lineup and stealing bases, doubles, but they've got some guys that can crank them out every once in a while. And they just called up Dylan Cruz, which is really exciting. Former LSU prospect, now back in the majors. Mm-hmm. So, and one of the cool things that happened there is that Jaden Daniels actually reached out to Dylan Cruz and said, hey, we both made it, both LSU products. So kind of cool to see that yesterday. But also James Wood is there. I mean, all those prospects that they got, Mackenzie Gore, James Wood, Dylan Cruz, all these guys and even the guy they just drafted are now up for this Nationals team. So maybe an exciting brand of baseball coming for them. They're still a ways away. They've got to find some pitching. And the reason I bring that up is Patrick Corbin's pitching for them tonight. And Patrick Corbin's been a little bit like, you remember in Shallow Hal when she took off her underwear and threw it at him and it looked like a giant parachute?
Mm-hmm.
Get over here, Houdini. Well, in his past couple starts, he's looked a little like Houdini because his numbers haven't been good, but he hadn't
why
been.
Why did you go to Shallow Hal and you just go finish up with the Houdini?
Because I
just wanted to reference the Big Bloomers.
I just wanted to say Houdini because he said, get over here, Houdini, because he didn't understand how she could be wearing parachute pants or gigantic bloomers. So, point being is,
There's a lot of interesting spots, and that Yankees over is one. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it yet. I'm probably just going to fade the game because I think the Yankees should dominate this game. You've got one of the worst lefties in baseball going up against this lineup. Good night. I just can't do it. I can't touch the Nats. I don't care if Houdini's over there getting his ground balls and pop-ups, but Patrick Corbin flat out sucks. And I don't care if he had a good start last time out or had...
I think that's mean and aggressive.
By the way, his good starts are graded on a curve, too, because he can, if he goes out and goes five innings and gives up three runs, somebody's like, hey, that's a pretty good start by Patrick Corbin. No, it's not. It's just that he sucks, and now you guys are going to... You'll take that because of who he is. Red Sox over. I mentioned the Cardinals over and the White Sox over, which I'm not touching. I'm going the opposite way on that game. So here, let me run through a couple of things I love, and then I'll tell you my favorite play, which happens to be in the WNBA. I love the Houston and Philly over. Great hitting spot. Justin Verlander for the Astros. So I know people are going to see that name and go, I don't want to bet an over in a Verlander game. He's not back yet, guys. And by the way, he wasn't back this year when he started pitching. He did not look like Justin Verlander. He wasn't getting all those Ks. He didn't have a horrible ERA or anything like that. But he did not look like the guy that we've seen dominate in years past. Doesn't mean he can't regain form, look that way. But, you know, as we talked about some of these guys with strikeout numbers going down and you're hitting more bats, how's that going to work out for Justin Verlander in the future? Mm-hmm. And by the way, in his last start, he got beat around. I don't think he's back yet, so I'm going to take my chances on the Phillies being able to get after Justin tonight. And on the flip side, for the Philadelphia Phillies, it is an interesting matchup because I know a lot of people like to shy away from this stuff when they see Aaron Nola's name. I'm not afraid. I think the Astros can get after Nola. Some lefty power bats there. Bregman's been swinging a great bat here recently. I love the over at 8.5. I think it's a great spot. Conversely, I like the Rockies and Marlins to go over. Highest total on the board, 11. It's good weather there. I didn't put it on the list of hitting because there was no real edge to be had. I just think this is a great spot. You've got two of the worst pitchers on the slate. Rodery Muniz is going to get lit up by a Colorado team that just doesn't hit all that much. And speaking of Colorado, they're trotting out Cal Quantrill. Doesn't matter. I think Miami should be able to get after them, and the total of 11. Love it to go over. I think the Giants are in a great spot. Seattle, Tampa Bay under looks great. I am going to go back to the well with the Cardinals over. And as I brought up earlier, Texas and the Chicago White Sox. It's a pitching matchup of Andrew Haney versus Garrett Crochet. I'm going to take the under and think we can get some Ks here. Haney's looked pretty decent over the past couple starts. And anybody can look decent against this White Sox lineup. Let's be honest. Like, they scored some runs last night, but they're just so bad. There's a lot of guys in their lineup that should not be playing for a major league team. My favorite play tonight is in the WNBA. Las Vegas and Dallas over 179. That's a high number, and everybody's scared of it. I brought this up before. What did Dallas do? I liked the Dallas to win and cover two nights ago, and then it went to overtime with a crappy team. Mm-hmm. And then they were playing the LA Sparks. They scored over 100 points in that game. I think they won 103 to 100 or something. Like, just off the charts. Dallas plays no defense in the WNBA.
No.
So over 179 against Las Vegas. I like this play. I think they'll change the tempo and push it. One other thing I wanted to bring up. I'm so sick of everybody crapping all over Angel Reese.
I am too.
So look, I love both players. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. Do I think Caitlin Clark should win Rookie of the Year? Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. Everybody wants to bring up Angel Reese's shooting percentage. Mm-hmm. She grabs so... There were three girls around her trying to rebound, and she grabbed three consecutive offensive rebounds. One of the things... Yes, look, get her ass in the gym, put her on the mic and drill, and keep working it. But I think a lot of times she tries to go up quick to get the foul call and try to get an and one, and she's missing those shots. This is something that she will remedy throughout her career. But the people are pointing out going, oh my God, she's such a horrible shooter. She's shooting 46% from the field around the basket, just around the basket. Okay. A lot of people shoot 50% from the field, and that's good. Everybody wants to bash her. You get 22 rebounds and 11 of them are offensive rebounds. And this isn't just her missing a shot and tipping it back
up. I heard a stat the other day that if she does not get her own rebounds, she still leads the league in offensive rebounds.
it's
if it wasn't for her getting her own rebound, she'd still lead the league in offensive rebounds.
And I know people want to trash her, whatever. She's a phenomenal basketball player, and she's only going to get better. And yes, I think Caitlin Clark should absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, win this award. But
Jeremy, this is an example.
Angel Reese should get a couple of those votes too.
This example of dumping on someone
to lift up someone
to
else.
Lift up someone else. Listen, I was a Magic Johnson fan, 100%. Was not a Larry Bird fan, but Larry Bird was a bad man. Larry Bird was one of the best basketball players I ever saw. I was a Magic Johnson fan. I don't need to dog Bird to lift Magic Johnson up. You understand what I'm saying? I don't need to do that. The guy was awesome. He was an awesome basketball player. He just wasn't my favorite. My favorite was Magic Johnson.
He was a white. And he talked so much trash. By the way,
he's not anymore. He retired.
He looked like a bird himself. Yeah. This is where I get into the arguments where young guys, I don't feel like, appreciate some of the players that came before him, i.e. what we had with Anthony Edwards.
The era we live in, man.
He started off with saying, I didn't get to see many of those guys play, but the only one that could play was Jordan. It's like, well, wait a minute. You're talking out both sides of your mouth.
It's the era we live in. You got to set everybody on flames, man. You can't just respect and walk away. It's that you got to put them on flame.
I will fight you in the six-sided ring of fire. Larry Bird belongs in your top five players, and I have him at number three. I'm sorry, you can't tell me any different. That guy would, if you watch what he did in a game, what would he do today with these rules? Russell Westbrook and his triple-double. Yeah, Larry Bird's doing it with a better shooting percentage from three-point and two-point range. It's just, anyway, I'll get off my high horse here, but stop banging on Angel Reese for, I mean, people are just looking at things to destroy her for because they don't like her. There you go.
Generational talent. I love her. Loved the winning. She was in high school, college.
I just don't
she's
know
why basketball player.
People can't be critical without being a-holes.
I got nothing to be critical about. She's a phenomenal basketball player, period. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan.
I'm not changing up what I do on a morning show.
Thanks for listening, but the FCC defines clearly what's inappropriate for us.
And I can't speak for an afternoon show or a later show or whatever you want to say it is that talked about lap dances, but who cares? Like, they're allowed to talk about whatever they want. They're not doing anything illegal.
And for the record, I don't like lap dances. Let's go to Bob and Timonium. What's up, Bob?
How's everybody doing this morning?
Doing well, Bob. How are you?
He's doing all right.
I'm doing well. Hey, I just wanted to say one of the reasons I listen to you guys is it's not strictly sports. You talk about a lot of other things. And your buddy over there has been told already about his homosexual innuendo.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Bob. Homo?
That's what it was. It was homosexual. It's 10 months ago. You might not have been around for that one, but a caller said he was tired of Jeremy's homosexual in the morning with the kids around. So if you know that's what's going on, man, you know, use another station or something. I like listening to y'all because you're on current events. I love it when Ed's around. I love the commissioner of Baltimore. You talk about a lot of things that affect people's lives. And when your show's off, I change over and listen to music the rest of the day because I'm beat to death with the sports. Just wanted to let that all know that.
Bob, appreciate it. And I've heard people call it homosexual, homosexual, but the pause in between kind of caught me, Bob. The thing about this, though, too, is, and I mean this. Look, I raised two kids. I coached kids in basketball from all the way up from, you know, when they're 5 years old through high school. If you people think some of the things that we talk you about people. In this show are inappropriate, sorry, if all of you, and I got to say you people, if people out there think that the things we talk about are, you know, not good for whatever you're listening to in the car, imagine what these kids are talking about in school.
Yeah. And that's the encore for today. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Buffalo Zoe who wants to weigh in on us. What's up, Buffalo Zoe?
What's up, Zoe?
Oh, no, man. Listen, Jeremy, keep doing what you're doing, man. That Titanic tallywacker, man. You got to follow that up with no Diddy, man. But I'm put that on the T-shirt for real, guys. Right? Yeah, y'all guys, man. I love it. I do this from 4 to 10 in the morning. Once y'all go off, I'm done for the morning. Have a good day, man.
I appreciate it. I was watching some video of a guy trying to pick up a girl, and he asked her if she wanted the long. And I'm like, what's that? Because I don't know. The long, long. It's not as good as Titanic Tallywhacker, but I think it still means the same thing.
Now it's time for you to find out what we learned today. First off, this is from Jeff Pass at ESPN Plus. Talking about Corbin Burns, a 29-year-old right-hander, is the consensus number two player in the free agency class. He is saying that he expects Burns to warrant an elite 7-year contract. He pointed out guys like this century, the elite pitchers, Clayton Kershaw, Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, and more recently Aaron Nola,
and Gerrit Cole,
to 7-year deals. Mm-hmm. He compares them to them. He says also he established, acknowledged the fact that Burns' strikeout rate is down to 8.2, and he says this is the fourth consecutive year that strikeout rate has dipped. But he still expects him to do that. A couple of national days, National Peach Day. You like peach?
I love peaches. I can eat peach for hours.
Yeah, me too. It's also National Just Because Day. Why do you do it? Just because. Some birthdays today. Birthdays were the worst days.
Yes.
Remember former running back Darren McFadden, Jeremy?
Yes.
He celebrates his 37th birthday today.
He was part of Run DMC, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Breonna Stewart, WNBA player. She turns 30 today.
Yep.
And former pass rusher Rob Burnett turns 57 today of the Baltimore Ravens.
Happy birthday, Rob.
Now, on a couple of birthdays here, see if you know these guys. Michael Perry and Jim Tomei share a birthday today. Who's older?
I'm going to say Michael Perry's older.
You say Michael Perry's older? Where you going to go with this?
I'm going to go Tomei.
You going to do Tomei? All right. Jim Tomei turns 54. Michael Perry turns 59.
Mm.
There you go. What you got for Jerry Kahn? Jeremy Kahn?
So this morning,
Jerry Kahn.
It's all right. This morning, I ran out of my shampoo. Couldn't find any other, so I had to use the dog shampoo. But I've been feeling like a good boy all morning. My granddad always used to say, better out than in. He's a lovely guy, but a hopeless prison guard. this one's so stupid. Joe's going to love this. What kind of pants do psychics wear? Just a paranormal pants.
That's one of the best ones recently.
Yeah. My girlfriend dumped me because she said I was obsessed with football. I'm gutted. We were together for 5 seasons. I decided to sell my vacuum cleaner. It was just gathering dust. Oh, here. I grilled a bunch of elk meat before my buddy told me, you're just making a big moose steak.
I like that one.
Last one for you. As I get older, I remember all the people I lost along the way. Maybe a career as a tour guide wasn't the right choice.
It's a paranormal pants, huh?
It's so stupid, but it's so funny. Well played.
Vinny and Henny up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Taco Tuesday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.